welcome to the Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. This podcast is devoted to helping increase your daily exposure to God's Word with a short scripture reading and brief commentary on key ideas, themes, and theology in each chapter. Now please join your host, Dave Jenkins, for today's episode.
Well, welcome back to the Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today is August 29th, and today we're going to look at Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Now, just by way of reminder, every day I read from one chapter of God's Word. So today, Numbers 6, 22 through 27, and then I offer a brief explanation of key ideas, themes, and the theology in that chapter. My goal is to get you into God's Word for about 5 to 20 minutes or so. So let's get to our reading now from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. In Numbers 6, 22 through 27 says this, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Well, this is our reading today from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. You know, let's be honest here as we start this episode. We all want to be able to say to ourselves, I want to feel so blessed. And yet, how do we find that life a blessing? In this often troubled world, where is true blessing to be found? That is what this passage in the book of Numbers is all about. The life of blessing and how we may receive it. This brief portion of the Word of God, it gives us three foundational truths about blessing, where blessing comes from, what blessing is, and how we can receive it. So the first truth of the passage is where blessing comes from. It comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from having hardwood floors. Speaking from experience, I can tell you that could be a mixed blessing unless you have a maid, for example, to keep them spotless. It doesn't even come from having happy children. Blessing comes from the Lord. That notion is central to our passage. Three times the Lord reiterates it when he says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The Lord Jehovah, the personal name of God, is identified three times as the one from whom all blessing comes. And then at the very end of the passage, just in case you somehow missed it earlier, the Lord summed it up by saying to Moses, "I myself," literal translation, the Hebrew is empathetic here, "I myself will bless them," in verse 27. So why is there so much emphasis here on where our blessing comes from? Surely it is because our natural tendency to look for blessing in all the wrong places, right? In Jeremiah 2:13, the Lord laments this tendency on behalf of the people, saying, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fount of living waters, and hewed our cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So instead of going and seeking blessing from God, the one from whom all blessings flow, they tried to find their own blessing in places where there was no blessing to be found. Instead of the fresh springs of the living water of blessing that flow from the Lord, they scratched around in stagnant, muddy pools of their own making. For Israel, that often meant looking to other countries like Egypt and Assyria to protect them from their enemies instead of going to the Lord. It meant worshiping the idols of the nations instead of the true and the living God. It meant making golden calves of the plunder of Egypt instead of devoting it to the worship of God in the tabernacle. We too have tried to dig our own cisterns and to find blessing in all the wrong places. We have our own muddy pools from which to drink. Some of us have tried to find blessing in our possessions. We have tried to find significance by acquiring everything on our want list. Perhaps your list include a beautiful house, a luxury car, fine clothes and fur coats, or possibly the latest computer and electronic toys. You felt that if you just had those things, then you would be blessed, or perhaps you sought blessing in relationships. You wanted to have a wife or a husband, or perhaps a better husband or wife. You longed for a son or a daughter. If you just had those relationships, you thought you'd be blessed. Or maybe you sought blessing in being respected by your colleagues at work or admired by your friends at home or at school. And when you have those things, then to you, you'll feel blessed, so you think. How do we know where we're finding our hope a blessing? The answer is to follow our feelings back to their source. Tracing back the smoke of our strong desires will lead us to the smoldering fire of the altar where we have erected to our idol. Examining carefully our anger and our despair, along with our daydreams and our anxious fears, will provide a map for us that is going to uncover where we're finding our hope of blessing. For example, if our hope of blessing lies in our possessions, then we'll feel greatly blessed when we get new things. And yet, we will also be extremely anxious about losing them. We'll be excessively elated when we get a new car and even overly deflated when it acquires its first scratch. If a woman's hope of blessing lies in relationship, she's going to daydream about the day when her prince will arrive and even sweep her off her feet. Or she will perhaps fear that perhaps she'll never have the perfect family sitting around the table. We'll get angry when the object of our blessings seems threatened and we're overjoyed when it seems to be within our grasp. Our strong emotions are going to show us the inner recesses of the heart if we take the time to study them. What we'll inevitably find if we study our strong emotions carefully is we've been seeking blessing in all the wrong places. So we need to ask, what is blessing though? If blessing does not lie in having it all, not in having abundant possessions of wonderful relationships or even being judged really useful, what is it? The priestly benediction tells us the answer to this, and it's very simple. Blessing lies in a face-to-face relationship with the living Lord and God, experiencing His protection and favor. First, the benediction simply states, "The Lord bless you and keep you." In other words, may the Lord provide us with what we need and protect us from harm. The Lord knows that we need food and drink to sustain our bodies. He knows that we need clothes to wear and a house to live in. He knows what our future holds, and He has crafted it to fit the work that He is doing in our hearts and through us in the lives of others. The Lord's blessing includes and even encompasses all those things given to us in exactly the right measure with fatherly wisdom. There is nothing wrong with desiring all those things and asking Him to give them to us. The Lord's protection and keeping of His people, it's a wonderful and reassuring truth. However, God's blessing on His people is so much more than having enough in our cupboards to eat and nothing to cause us to worry. Otherwise, many of us would have to conclude that in reality, we are not so very blessed right now. There must be more to God's blessing than that, and there is. The priestly benediction unpacks the deeper aspects of the Lord's blessing in two vivid and related images. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you, and the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And so true blessing is knowing God face to face. The idea of having God's face shine when He looks at us is a wonderful image. Have you ever seen anybody's face shine? Perhaps you've watched a children on Christmas morning as they open their presents, or you watch young lovers as they walk together in the park and look at each other. They glow with the delight of being together. This is the heart of blessing, to have the Lord delight in us so much that it is as if His face shines on us whenever He sees us. Blessing is not just that our face shines when we look at the beauties of God, but that He delights to turn His face toward us and look at us. Blessing is our Heavenly Father's face beaming at us when He's looking at us. Can you imagine God delighting in us in this way? This is what every child longs for from his or her father. Children want, above all things, to know that their father delights in them. They need to know that they are important to their father, that their father lights up whenever they walk in the room. Some of us never get that from our earthly fathers. We want so desperately to know that we matter to them, but we never feel it. We never felt their faces shine when they turn towards us. But God wants you to feel His blessing today. He wants you to feel His pleasure, to feel that His face shines when He looks upon you. In the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Lindell justifies the importance of his running in the Olympics by saying, "God has made me for a purpose. He made me for China, but He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure." In the same way, the Lord wants you to know that His face is turned towards you in grace and in peace. He wants you to feel His pleasure. God thus wants our relationship with him rooted in and because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ, and sufficient work at that, where we not only know his protection and his keeping, but we also know his presence. This is his blessing indeed, to know that the Lord's face is turned towards us and that we know his favor because of Christ. We have no claim on that favor as if it were ours by our rights. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a matter of grace. But the Lord commanded the priests to remind the people daily that by his grace, they could know that he delighted in them. Do we know the blessing of that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father? The third aspect of this passage, though, is how we receive this blessing. The answer is that the Lord gives it to his people freely out of his grace and mercy. That's not how most people back in the ancient times thought of the gods. They thought you had to twist the arms of the deity to get his blessing. They had to manipulate good things for themselves from the gods. That was usually why when they went to the priest, because the priest was the person who had the connections and the knowledge that would enable them to get what they wanted. In other words, the ancients often viewed dealing with the gods the way we view dealing with the government. The government has an enormous ability to help us and to make our lives run smoothly on the one hand, or to make our lives miserable on the other. However, it is often very difficult to get the government to give us what we need. You see, it's hard to get a blessing from the government because all too often it seems the government doesn't care about our little issues. So this is how people thought of the gods. You went to the priest because he was the expert who could get you in the back door, bypassing the line and perhaps getting a blessing for you. This perspective leads to the attitude of somebody like Jacob. God had promised him a blessing before he was even born in Genesis 25:23, and yet he spent his whole life trying to steal the blessing that he had been promised. Jacob wrestled, so to speak, with his brother for the birthright in Genesis 25:29-34 and Genesis 27:1-29. He wrestled with Laban for his daughters and his sheep, and yet all the time God was the one he really needed to wrestle with. Finally, in that climatic wrestling match at the forge of the Jabbok, Jacob received the blessing that he had been seeking all his life when he was too wounded to wrestle any longer in Genesis 32:22-31. And when all he could do was cling onto God, he was finally ready to receive the blessing of God. That was when he met God face to face and saw that what really counted was the Lord's favor. We are so like Jacob. We tend to think that we need to steal a blessing from God. And so we seek to wrestle a blessing from his reluctant grasp, or to even twist God's arm into giving us his blessing. We are sure that he doesn't really approve of us at all. But maybe, just maybe, if I am really a useful person, he's going to smile on my efforts. But what do we see in our passage? God is the one who initiates the blessing. Aaron doesn't first ask, how do I bless this people? Moses doesn't file a request to triplicate to indicate a blessing for the people. God comes to Moses and Aaron and says, I want you to place my blessing on this people. Here's how to do it. There's no magic formula. There's no trickery. There's no wrestling with God in the priestly benediction. The Lord initiates it because he wants to bless his people and to give him his peace. So what makes God's desire to bless us truly amazing is that we don't deserve his blessing at all. In the chapters before this blessing in the book of Numbers, there are a whole series of laws for two very different kinds of people. Numbers 5 records the laws that cover the test for a wife who is accused of unfaithfulness. Number 6, it gives us the laws for the person who takes a Nazarite vow, a vow to live for a period of time as somebody especially devoted to the Lord. In these chapters, two completely opposite situations are presented: a faithless wife and somebody who is completely devoted to the Lord. Now, which of these two people is more like Israel? The completely devoted person or the faithless wife? Israel was certainly supposed to be completely devoted to the Lord. The Nazarite was supposed to be a picture to Israel, representing the kind of devotion she was to show to the Lord. But in practice, throughout her history, and perhaps particularly during the book of Numbers, Israel was often the faithless wife, going after other gods, complaining against the Lord, grumbling and complaining. Which one of these is more like you? Are you more like the Nazarite or the faithless wife? For myself, I don't have to even think about this very much. By nature, I'm completely faithless. Before God found me and brought him to himself, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. And even after God found me and saved me, showing his great love for me, my heart still wanders and complains and grumbles. Far too often, I'm looking for my blessing in other places and in other things, I am the faithless wife, not the Nazarite. And yet God is nonetheless determined to bless me. The Lord wants his blessing and his name placed on me and on you. The people that Jesus came to seek and to save are not the Nazarite, but the sinners. For we all fall short of God's perfect standard. That is why Jesus came to the Samaritan woman at the well, who was a faithless woman, if there ever was one. She had five husbands and was then living with yet another man, according to John 4:18. And yet Jesus told her about his father who sought worshipers among her people like her in John 4:23. The Lord's blessing is poured out on faithless ones like us. See, God is able to bless faithless people like me because he sent his son to be completely devoted to him in my place. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life of devotion to God. He was the true embodiment of the Nazarite ideal of separation from evil and death, the one who kept God's law in every detail. His heart was constantly filled with loving obedience to God, and so he truly earned the Lord's blessing. It was not surprising that at his baptism, his father said this in Luke 3:22, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his glory was revealed to his closest disciples, those disciples heard the Father say of Jesus in Matthew 17:5, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." On the mountain, Jesus was physically illuminated with the reflected glory of his Father's favor. He knew his Father's face turned towards him in blessing. But then came the week of Jesus' passion, when obedience to his Father's will took Jesus into the darkness for us. It wasn't just the weight of the heavy cross on his flayed back that drove him to his knees. It was carrying the burden of my unfaithfulness and your as well. He paid for the sin of my faithless hands and wandering feet in the malls that transfixed his obedient hands and feet. He atoned for the sin of my adulterous heart, and as his faithful heart was pierced by the Roman soldier's spear. As God the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, Jesus took upon himself my curse. The scripture of the Old Testament declared solemnly that anyone hung on a tree was cursed of God in Deuteronomy 21:23. On the cross, Jesus didn't simply withstand the cursings of men, therefore, but took on to himself the very curse of God. It wasn't just the crowd that cried out, "Let him be crucified." It wasn't just the Roman soldiers who mocked him and the chief priest who said in Matthew 27:23, Matthew 27:29, and Matthew 27:42, "Let him come down from now from the cross and we will believe in him." There on the cross, Jesus felt the Father's curse. In fact, the cross is the very antithesis of the priestly benediction. Did God the Father bless Jesus and keep him when he was on the cross? No, he handed him over into the power of those who hated him and wanted to kill him. Did God the Father make his face shine upon Jesus on the cross? No, he poured out his wrath and his crushing anger against sin upon the Lord Jesus. Did God the Father turn his face towards Jesus on the cross and give him peace? No, he turned his face away from him so that Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus lifted his eyes towards heaven for the first time in all eternity, there was no answering light from the Father's face. Even the Son turns his countenance from Jesus as if the universe itself could no longer bear to look upon Jesus. At that moment, for Jesus, there was no peace. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our sin. He was abandoned for our faithlessness. He was cursed for our blessing. But he himself, Jesus, is our peace. In Jesus, we now receive God's blessing. Now my sin and faithlessness has been fully paid for. Now Jesus has been raised up from the dead and exalted to the right hand of the Father. He has returned once again to the Father's favor and has been given the name above every name, never again to be separated from his blessing. What's even more, where he is, there I also shall be. Now the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will certainly bless me and keep me for his sake. Now I know that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8:38 and 39. Now I know that the Father looks on me with pleasure, and his face lights up every time he sees me, because he sees me through Jesus. The Father sees me in his Son, whom he loves. As a Christian, I have the name Jesus written indelibly on my soul. And so the Father delights to bless me in Christ with every spiritual blessing for his sake, according to Ephesians 1:3. God's face is turned toward me in Christ, and no matter what I encounter in life, it can never, ever be turned away from me. In this world, this is the worst that the Christian will ever experience because we have such a great hope, and we will be with Jesus in heaven forever in his presence and worship before his throne. Some never experienced this blessing of God. They have never known or felt his favor, for they have never given their life to Christ. They have never submitted their heart to the Lord. You see, the Father's favor is not given indiscriminately to all humanity, just as the Aaronic blessing was not meant to be administered to all people. It is only to be given to those whom he calls his own people in Christ. If you have never done so, you need to come to Christ today and receive the blessing of a new life under the smile of God. Confess your sins. Repent of all the ways in which you have sought to manufacture your own life of blessing and bow down today to God's only way to blessing. Receive God's favor in Jesus Christ alone. It is the only way to true blessing and peace, a blessing that's going to last for all eternity. Or perhaps today you're a believer, but you have forgotten where your true blessing is to be found. That is why you're so concerned and with the worries and the cares of life, uncertain that the Father will protect you. That is why you are so consumed with anger and fear, unsure of your Father's blessing. That is why you're so tied in knots about your future, devoid of the Father's gift of peace. You have forgotten your Father's sure favor and the cost with which it bought you. Fortunately, the Lord knows your weakness and mine. That is why Aaron was instructed to repeat this blessing to the Israelites often, because the Lord knows that we so easily forget and to seek our blessing in all the wrong places. That is why we need to conclude our church services week after week with the benediction, God's authoritative statement of his favor towards us in Christ alone. Christian, you and I need to repent of the other places that you and I have looked for satisfaction and blessing apart from the Lord. And so we must repent and we must look again at the cross. We must marvel again that God loves us this much. You and I, we can rejoice that his favor is still extended to us in Jesus Christ, unfaithful and unprofitable servants though we are. Every day, the Father's face lights up to behold us because he sees us clothed in the sacrifice of his Son. Every day, he looks on us, he turns his face towards us, and he says to each of us, "This too is my Son whom I love. This too is my daughter with whom I am well pleased. Receive my peace, beloved of the Lord, upon whom his favor rests." Now, this Numbers 6 tells us this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching today's episode of Reading the Bible Daily with Dave. My name is Dave, and today is August 29th, and we've looked at Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Until tomorrow, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to also like, subscribe, or follow Servants of Grace on Facebook, Instagram, X, or YouTube. We appreciate your support.